Welcome to the People and Performance Podcast, offering tips and expert insights into the strategic capabilities, behaviors, and results needed to grow and sustain employee performance.
Welcome to this episode of the People and Performance Podcast, the show that offers insights into the strategic competencies, behaviors, and results needed to increase the performance of employees. Hey, this is Bill Banham, your co-host. In this episode, Chris Buehling and I look at some ways that emotional intelligence impacts relationships and performance. Our guest today is Jeff Summers, Managing Director at Genos North America. Together with Genos International, Genos North America supports Genos partners to make a real difference in organizations and in the lives of employees through emotional intelligence solutions that are game-changing for business. Chris and I hope that you enjoy this conversation that we had with Jeff. And if you do, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Jeff, Chris and I are delighted to welcome you to the People and Performance Podcast today.
Bill and Chris, thank you guys for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So straight into it then, Jeff. First question for you. How can leaders with high levels of emotional intelligence better connect with their employees?
Well, maybe, Bill, it would help. Everybody has their way of defining emotional intelligence. So maybe a good starting point is just to kind of give you the way I kind of distill it down. And really, truly, we all, you know, how we show up and we around others and behave, or we have skills, and how we demonstrate that. When we have high emotional intelligence, people will feel appreciated and valued and heard and important and things like that. When people show up with a lower level of emotional intelligence, people will feel, you know, disappointed and frustrated and angry and stressed out. So really, truly, if you think about a leader wants to have people run through brick walls for them. They want them to want to be around them. They want them to feel good. And to get that, they need to feel appreciated and valued and heard and things like that. So when you distill it back up the ladder, when you have high emotional intelligence, it's the feel that people have, but that feel is what drives the motivation, the inspiration, and the desire to want to do more. Is that kind of what you were looking for there?
We'll take it, Jeff. We'll take it. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the notion of nature versus nurture. I believe personally that some folk are born with higher degrees of emotional intelligence than others, but that's not the same as saying it can't be taught, it can't be developed. So talk to me a little bit about to what extent can emotional intelligence be brought out of leaders and employees and be developed?
Great question. I think there's there's the bell curve, and I think you have some people at the top of the bell curve that, however they got it, Bill, whether they were born with it or they grew up around people in a family that they just live their life being full of this stuff and it's pouring over, and that's a small group. And then you have the other group at the end, unfortunately, that however they got it. You know, we hear things, they're toxic, they're difficult to be around. And again, it's very, very difficult to be with them. But you have that biggest group in the middle there of the bell curve that are average or okay. That is a group that usually doesn't even know about something called emotional intelligence. So to answer your question, the ones on both ends, there may be room for the best to get a little bit better. And the ones that are difficult or the worst or toxic, chances are they're not going to get much because they're going to put up kind of a battle. But really, truly, what you're talking about, Bill, is the ability to take someone from kind of neutral, who's okay or steady, decent person, their eyes start to open up. And all of a sudden, they may never go from being average or okay to best. But all of a sudden, they start at neutral, and they're making a difference, whether that's 5% or 10% or 2%. So I look at it as the three different groups. There's the small on both ends, but that big group in the middle is where the opportunity lies, in moving the needle across the board. And that's the group that usually just shows up in a very non-discrete kind of way. Does that kind of help give you a little, it's a different way to look at it, but I look at it again in three different buckets.
Yeah, I like that. So let me ask the question, does emotional intelligence impact the employee's well-being? And if so, how?
Yeah, great question, Chris. So if I am your manager and I'm empathetic, I understand you, I connect with you, at the end of the day, you describe me as somebody that makes you feel appreciated and valued and heard and you feel good. There's psychological safety. You're able to show up as yourself around me. Well, when you think about your attitude and your well-being, I'm not putting you in a stressful or anxious situation. I'm putting you in situations where you're able to show up as yourself. You're not worried about saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. So how I make you feel translates back to some of that well-being and just being comfortable in that environment.
Brilliant. I love that. So as you just gave that reference there, you're talking about it as the leader. So the question I have for you as a follow-up is, emotional intelligence development just for leaders, or is it for the employees as well?
No, I'll give you, it's for the employees as well. I'll give you an example that we use a lot. If you guys went to a new restaurant in your respective communities and brand new restaurant, and you were walking out, and simultaneously, you both got a text from a friend that said, "Chris, Bill, how was it?" And you know, maybe a higher end place. And if your response was it was okay or it was average, that person that was your waiter or waitress didn't really make much of an impression. That comes back to that big middle group there. What would be your level of inspiration to want to go back and see something or do something that was okay? So you're not really feeling good. You're not feeling bad. Everything that happened was expected. And all of a sudden, you're feeling okay. So when you think about emotional intelligence in that big group in the middle that's okay or average, what if that person just learned one type of thing? Maybe they started to use your name more. Maybe they asked you a few questions because you were wearing a certain hat or shirt with a name of a sports team on it. But when you think about jobs, even as wait staff in restaurants that show up, we've been there before when they've taken their bad attitude and they put it on to us and we walk away frustrated. We've had those great ones too. But just at that level, how you feel during that interaction, whether you're a customer at a hardware store or whether you're a direct report for a manager, how you're made to feel comes back to customer loyalty. So it's across the board, Chris, on how we're made to feel pretty much relates to everything in life. That's kind of, you know, we can look at it at leadership, but it really connects back to how you make people feel. And that comes back to how you demonstrate emotional intelligence.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, so let's talk about a few of the returns then. What can an organization expect to realize if they make an investment in developing the emotional intelligence of their leaders and their employees? So in terms of increased levels of productivity, increased levels of happiness, retention rates, ROI in terms of, you know, more profits for the company, what are those general expectations that folks can have if they make these investments?
That question is going to be difficult to answer. And the reason I say that, Bill, there's so many moving pieces. We've had silos where you have one leader that has emotional intelligence in a certain silo in a certain organization. And if that organization as a culture is not receptive and is not doing the things in the core values and honoring some of those things, all of a sudden it becomes very difficult for one person to leverage and grow EI if the things aren't happening around them that are conducive to that happening. So some of it really, it's difficult, but a lot of it comes into what is the organization like and the culture like to begin with? Is it receptive? Are people buying in? Am I the only one that's in management that's buying into this stuff? And if so, it makes it very difficult because if nobody else in leadership is open and honest and vulnerable and authentic and genuine, all of a sudden it makes it difficult to even get, even if I believe in it and I do it on the outside world. So I'm going to, if everything being equal, there's absolutely those numbers that exist out there. But again, some of it is really the what's happening around the individuals and where the organization is at, because it's got to be a buy-in at certain levels for this stuff to really take traction. I know that I'm kind of moving off of I'm not answering your question, but it really truly we've met people that were EI leaders and we knew them, but they said they couldn't show up that way in certain organizations because it just wasn't accepted around them.
So Jeff, we have a couple of questions this season that we like to ask of all of our guests. Okay, I'm going to take one and then Mr. Bjorling is going to finish off the show today by taking the other one and asking you more about how we can learn about you. So my question for you is, can you share one piece of advice or some direction that you were given by a mentor, a leader, or a colleague that inspired you to perform at a higher level in your career?
Across the board for me, the first and foremost things is people that show up in a way, Bill, that are authentic and genuine. And it, to me, it leads everything off, meaning people, and I think of a person going back, my mentor from back in the 90s that I used to golf with. This was a person that showed up in a very authentic, genuine, didn't take themselves too serious, coming back to some of the Brené Brown kind of thing. But I think truly for me as an individual, those people that I connect most with are people that I can trust and feel comfortable being myself around them. And then things can take off. But I think that's the first step, is really just being around people that are authentic and genuine and are real. And from there, it then opens the door to other types of things in the EI or any space of leadership. But I think for me, that's the first step, is people just being able to be themselves and allowing me to be myself as I show up around them.
Excellent. Thank you. So the next question I have for you is, from a culture and people processes perspective, what does a high-performing company mean to you?
Great question, Chris. To me, a high-performing organization is when you have, first and foremost, senior leaders and middle leaders and first-line leaders that, as a group, and there's going to be one-offs across the board, that are all at least open to the idea of being a leader and some of the things that we talked about, being authentic, being genuine, being able to be empathetic, being empowering. So I think first and foremost, it starts at the top. And I think at each level of leadership, starting from the top to the middle to the frontline leaders, not that everybody needs to be high, but I think people at each area need to be receptive to developing and growing and being open-minded. So for me, it's more about having people that are willing and open in those leadership roles to learn and keep their eyes open for things like this, than it is having three or four great leaders at each level, you know, one or two that are not on board. I just think it's more of an open-minded kind of community where people are willing to want to grow.
Excellent answer. Thank you so much. So as we draw to the final portion of our session together today, how can we and our listeners learn more about you? And
we have a couple of things. We have our website that I can give you, Chris, is www.genosnorthamerica.com or on LinkedIn.
Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the People and Performance Podcast. Follow us on social media and remember to subscribe.